This Friday, viewers across the country can open their streaming devices, log into Netflix, and hit play on Roma, a new film by Alfonso Cuarón, the director behind Gravity and Y Tu Mamá También. Roma is a very personal film for Cuarón, centering around an upper-middle-class family, much like the one he grew up in Mexico City in the early 1970s. But rather than focusing on the family itself, the movie is told mainly from the perspective of Cleo, the family's maid, played by Yalitza Aparicio. It's a point of view that viewers in the United States aren't really accustomed to, and the movie's depiction of class and race divisions in Latin America may also take some non-Latino viewers by surprise. Joining me now to discuss the film is Vanessa Erazo, film and television editor for Remezcla. Thanks for being with us, Vanessa.
Thank you for having me.
So overall, what stood out to you when you were watching the film?
Definitely the fact that the protagonist is an indigenous, darker-skinned woman who is, you know, working class and is a maid, and that she is the protagonist of the film is something that we don't see. We don't see that in U.S. productions ever. In Latin American cinema, there's much more of a tradition of movies about domestic servants because it's much more common to have a live-in maid in Latin America. Labor is so cheap that even middle-class families have one or two. Like in the film, they have two actually live-in maids. So that, to me, that representation of an indigenous woman front and center was probably the thing that stood out the most to me.
And what do you make of Cuarón's decision to decenter his own story and really focus this on the help, essentially, Cleo, who's like you said, indigenous? I mean, does he handle her story thoughtfully or not?
I think there's two kind of parts to that. One, in a press conference that I attended where he was there, he talked about how in preparation for the film, he wanted it to be not only his memories, but kind of a coming together of his memories and of his real, you know, maid that he grew up with, nanny, almost second mother that he considered. So he obviously has a lot of love and affection for her. So he spent a lot of time on the phone and he said, you know, I also wanted her memories of when she wasn't at the house, things that I didn't experience. So he really brought together both perspectives, and putting her front and center, I think, is a very bold choice, and it's a very noble effort. But I do think that ultimately, when he is the creative force behind the film, he's the one making choices of what to include, what not to include. I do think that ultimately it's through his lens. It is from his frame of reference for the world, even though she's the protagonist.
I want to ask you a little bit about that, because we mentioned Cuarón, all their Latino directors who are really in the spotlight, Guillermo del Toro, Alejandro Iñárritu. Where are the Latinas behind the camera?
I think it's important, one, to distinguish between directors from Latin America and also U.S.-born Latinos. Directors from Latin America are flourishing at film festivals, at the Oscars. You know, their cinema, because there is some funding from the national governments in Latin America, they have a chance to make movies that aren't commercially, you know, that's not their first priority. They're making art. So there is a woman who, Patricia Riggan, who is Mexican-born, who has made some movies in Hollywood. She made there's a movie about the Chilean miners, The 33. She recently did a film with Jennifer Garner. So she's really the only, I would say, Latin American director that's been able to make movies in Hollywood, Latin American female, you know, Latina director. Mm-hmm. In terms of U.S.-born Latinos, male and female, they're not anywhere, you know, near the recognition that Latin American directors are. We don't have government money here for films that U.S. Latinos would make, particularly like fiction films. Documentaries, there's a little bit, you know, from public television. Mm-hmm. But they are really, if you look at Cannes, Venice, you know, the big festivals, Mexican directors are winning, Latin, you know, Argentine, Venezuelan. It's very, very rare to see a film about Latinos in the U.S. directed by, you know, U.S.-born Latinos, second-generation Latinos, to reach that level. It's right now, we're invisible really behind the camera.
I think we are, and we're also invisible in many of the critic roles when we're talking about this film. And I often think Latinos don't have to just be the only people talking about Latino films. Let's make that clear.
Right.
But I do think it is a hole in the art critic world that we don't have enough representation here. I'm wondering, when we talk about issues of class and colorism in Latin America, how were those portrayed in the film? And what do you think would stand out to non-Latino audiences, particularly here in the United States?
I think in this film in particular, it is subtle. They don't directly, let's say the family doesn't directly, you know, put her down for being indigenous or you know, make comments that you would think are insulting. But there's a small moment where one of the youngest boys, the two, you know, maids are talking in Mixteco to each other. And he keeps saying in Spanish, and like, what are you saying? Stop talking like that. You know, so that's kind of pointing out, right, that they speak this language that the family doesn't understand, and that there is a difference there. I think small things like that are what come across in the film, and also skin color, right? Like maybe to people who only watch movies made in the United States, we're kind of Latinos and Latin Americans are all lumped together, and there's one image projected of us that we all kind of had the same skin color, hair color. We all kind of look the same. But in Latin America, that's what very much stands out. I lived in Roma for a little bit in that neighborhood in Mexico City, and the people with money are very light-skinned, and the people that work for them are darker-skinned. That's very much very visible across all of Latin America, and I don't think a lot of Anglo-Americans here would necessarily know that that's such a stark difference.
And in terms of, I mean, let's go a little deeper there, because there were a lot of racist comments on social media directed at the star of this film, Yalitza Aparicio, after she appeared in a Vanity Fair photo spread. Many of the comments came mostly from Mexican Twitter users. What did you make of this? I mean, we're talking about colorism here. What was your reaction to this?
To be honest, I wish I could say that I was shocked, but it, of course, is very disheartening, but it was not at all surprising. This is something that we know exists in Latin America, this attitude of, you know, just like there is in the United States, where there's a racial hierarchy in Latin America, in Mexico, this is very much the case, and left over from colonialism, the lighter the skin, the better. You know, so to me, it was upsetting, you know, to see that she's not allowed to just have her moment, especially from her own country people, right? People from Mexico feel very proud when they see Cuarón and Del Toro and Iñárritu winning Oscars. But an indigenous woman having a photo shoot with nice clothes and they have to put her down, I mean, that's really, it tells you how strong these divides are.
Vanessa Erazo is the film and television editor for Remezcla. Thank you so much for being with us, Vanessa.
Thank you for having me.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.